and Energy Center, 1992 to 1993, researcher, Vets University. The next candidate is
Advocate. We are muted. Advocate, you are muted. Yeah.
Okay. I will start.
Mr. Mostert,
yes. A South African male with the ID, a PhD in Economics, University of Free State, and MCOM, University of Free State. 12 years of experience from 2017 to date, Director, Macroeconomic Analysis, Limpopo Treasury, 1 January 2012 to 31 December 2016, Chief Economist, Department of Economic Development, Limpopo, 2006 to 2011, Chief Director, Department of Economic Development, Northern Cape, April 1996 to 31st July 2006, Regional Academic Manager in the Free State Region of Technikon, SA, 1992 to 1996, Lecturer, Technikon SA. The candidate has produced 32 published research papers. The next candidate is Olandi N, white female, South African ID indicated. She is an internal candidate. She has got MPhil in economics policy and also an MBA from University of Stellenbosch. She has got 14 years experience. From 1 January 2014 to current, she is the Budget Office Economist. PBO, 15 March 2008 to 31st December 2013, Fiscal Policy Revenue Economist, Western Cape Treasury. 1 November 2005 to 14 March 2008, Public Finance Expenditure Analyst, Western Cape Treasury. 1 April 2005 to 31st October 2005, Financial Management, Western Cape Treasury. October 2003 to March 2005, Senior State Accountant, Western Cape Treasury. November 2001 to October 2003, Fiscal Services, Senior Financial Administration Officer, Western Cape. The next candidate is Plagis D, African male, ID indicated, PhD in Management, Administration and Policy, and MPhil from University of Western Cape. 19 years experience, 2015 to date, Special Advisor to Minister of Public Enterprises, 2014 to 2015, Executive Director, Human Science Research Council. 2011 to 2014, Special Advisor to Public Service and Administration, and also DG in Free State Premier's Office. 2009 to 2011, Lecturer, VETS. 2005 to 2009, Deputy Director General, SASA. 2002 to 2005, Director, Public Finance, National Treasury. 1997 to 2002, Deputy Director, Policy and Planning, Gauteng Department of Health. The candidate produced and published research papers in journals. They have not been indicated. The number has not been indicated. That is what has been captured. This concludes, Chairperson, the eight candidates that are being recommended. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Advocate Tau. Honourable members, here's the presentation, here are the presentations. I'm happy to take comments. Please just shout down. We are not mean. If you want to comment, and I'll write your name, then you have a go.
Chairperson.
Yeah. Yes, Honorable Joseph. Okay, you are number one.
Abraham. Joseph and Abraham are Bible words, eh?
Oh, okay. are they both in Old Testament? Okay. Who's next? Honorable members, can I? I have got Honorable Joseph and Honorable Abraham. Are we still all connected? Honorable members, want to get your views?
I got lost and back.
Honorable Peter, so, but you heard the question, eh? Oh,
I'm here, Chair.
Yes, Chairperson.
I'm invited. Moment, so Peter. Coco, please mute.
And, so sweet.
And who else after Honorable Peters would like to have a bite?
Moletane.
Honorable Moletane is number four. Honorable members, I'm still inviting you. I want to get all the views. Honorable Lewis, are you there?
I'm here, Chair. I'm just waiting to hear the debate, and then I'll let you know if I want to come in afterwards. But nothing for now.
Okay. Thank you. I think that takes care of all of us. Honorable Joseph, please go.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is that we were presented out of all the candidates that applied. The 53 and coming down to the 13, the breakdown coming down to the 13, we were presented the criteria, and all the 13 candidates that were presented to us on the A list that are suitable. I'm sure that suitability is in line with the advertisement, hence that's 30 names of suitable candidates. Now that we receive a recommendation for 8 names, my question is, what makes the 5 candidates not recommended? What makes them now not suitable in terms of the advert? What distinguishes them from the 5 from the 8 recommended, and what makes the 5 candidates not suitable in terms of the minimum requirements, the skill requirements, and the attributes according to the advert placed? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, just advocate and the team, you must just note the questions. I would like to invite Honorable Abraham to come in.
Okay, thank you so much, Chairperson. I share the same sentiment. I share the same sentiments with Honorable Joseph, and I think we just need to just get info as to what is it that moves them to be left out in terms of shortlisting, because we have to be here in our minds, because the work that is being done here is work that is being done on our behalf, all of us, and therefore we have to be able to wholly take responsibility for what has happened. Secondly, Chair, for me is the identity. Have we been able to positively identify our candidates? I'm asking this question in view of the fact that we have been exposed in some areas for having taken in quite senior positions people who are not necessarily South Africans, although they might have South African IDs. So we just need to be clear on that, so that the necessary kind of check be done on the prospective candidates. And just lastly, Chair, on the summary, the summary of the spread. For example, how many females have been shortlisted, how many males, and so on and so forth. Just a summary of who we are dealing with and who we have taken out of the race. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Peters.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenters for the information. I would also want to join Honorable Joseph's in requesting for more details with regard to the 13 vis-a-vis the 8, and because in my own reading initially I thought that the 8 is all those people who is what is it called, your research work and all that. And I've realized that in the 8, there would be those that don't even have one research paper listed, or maybe it has been omitted. But also that there's a bit of inconsistency. I see under Kuma law, there is just reference on the part of research work. There's just reference that he participated in the establishment of the PBO. And for me, it doesn't say much because there are different roles that people play and different activities. So it's important that we have the full details. And Honorable Abrams, I think for me there's just too little. I don't know whether our adverts or the adverts that have been released in the previous periods for different very senior positions are restrictive to women to apply. I don't know, but I always find it odd that the number of women that get to be shortlisted or that get to apply are limited. And I would recommend that the two women that have been identified be on the shortlist, not as a token, but the mere fact that they managed to get to that stage. But Chairperson, I also want us to recommend even upfront to the HR team here that we need to get them to do the reference checks on all these candidates, but also to get the support of the speaker to do security clearance, because I would believe that it is also important for us at the point of doing the interviews that these particular issues are already attended to. And I'll leave it at that. And if I get another opportunity after the discussion, I could raise something else, Chairperson. Or maybe I can raise it now, Chairperson, if you allow me.
Please do.
Yes, Chairperson, I would recommend that we adopt the approach that has been adopted by other ad hoc committees in putting out the names of those that we shortlist for public scrutiny and for comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Peters. Honorable Mletsane.
Thank you, Chair. We seem to share same sentiments, because my comment was about that, to say that certain applicants, they do meet the minimum requirements. But if the advocate can clarify the criteria used in order to reduce that number from 13 to 8, so that it can be very clear to us. Because my understanding is that all those 13, they do meet the minimum requirements. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Letsane. Honourable Helwys, are you still okay? Would you like to come in?
Yeah, Chair, I just asked on the chat group that someone could please post or share the names of the 8 recommended candidates so that we can just see them. But also, Chair, I mean, I'm in agreement with all of the other colleagues, and maybe just to move the discussion forward and to make a recommendation, if colleagues are happy to consider a recommendation at this stage. You know, I'm very impressed with the quality of the applications that we've received in that list of 13 people. It's very high quality applicants and excellent South Africans. And it's already going to take us probably a full day to interview these applicants. And it's not going to add that much more time to just keep it at the 13. So, you know, if we are worried about excluding anyone who is genuinely excellent, maybe we should consider to just interview all of them, the 13. Chair, thank you.
Thank you, oral members. If I may join you, let me start by thanking the support team led by Advocate Tau. I think there's quite a lot of work which has gone into what we are dealing with today. Thank you very much, colleagues. My first question would be, broadly speaking, there are 24 candidates which have been disqualified, which didn't meet the minimum requirements. If you could broadly just say that. These were the things that they were not qualifying, which was making them not qualify. Don't go candidate by candidate, but broadly speaking, what was disqualifying them? And then, without preempting Advocate Tau, 13 candidates met the minimum requirements. And the team, what the team has done is to say these are the best of the 13. And that can be very subjective. Hence, you have got all the names of the candidates. The honorable members are also welcome to look at all the candidates in the list of 13. And if perhaps there are other candidates there that you think are better than the others, because really we can't interview 13. We can't interview 13. In other instances, you'll have about 500 people applying, and you just have to end up interviewing 5. It's not a perfect science, but I think Advocate Tau, you must just say these were the best, and why do you think were the best of the 13? But having said that, I want to stress this one. The oral members are still welcome to chop and change in the list of 8. 8 is quite a big number. Oral members would know that myself and Honorable Peters were involved with a similar process. I think we ended up interviewing 6 candidates, and it took the whole day, and it's quite a strenuous process. But I'm just saying that we need to come up with the best of the 13. I think that's what one is talking to. I just want to also to know that of the 37 candidates that applied, how many were females? How many were the females? Because I think, Honorable Peters, we may be dealing with a bigger problem here. And I think as government, we need to deal with for instance, in the last interview that we got involved in, which was publicized of the Auditor General, of the 7 that were shortlisted, there was only one female which was shortlisted. It may be saying something about the environment in which government environment and why female candidates are not very much keen to participate in our processes. I think what I remember, it's a bigger issue which I think government must deal with. In this country, the majority of South African citizens are female. But now when you've got these lists, then they definitely don't reflect that. There may be a bigger problem that you may need to attend to as government. But the question there for me was, out of the 37, how many were females? Because I think we need to make a point as far as that's concerned. Honourable members, we want to run, if you look at it, at our minutes, we said our process should be transparent. So I would like to support Honourable Peters that once we finish with our list of the candidates that we must want to interview, the South African public must be told these are the people that we are going to be interviewing, and then even call for comments. I know again that when we were dealing with this, we started having people now motivating against the candidate. If I like Honourable Joseph as a candidate, then I go and so on. Whereas that was not what we were calling for. We are more calling for suitability or unsuitability of the candidate. I think we'll have to go through that process, and advocates, it would also be helpful to also interact with the with your colleagues who are supporting the committee which is dealing, the ad hoc committee which is dealing with the appointment of the Auditor General, so that you can just share notes as to how go about as far as it is concerned. Or remember, those will be my comments, and advocates, we are free to come in and respond to the issues which have been raised by the honourable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start with the question that you asked: why some candidate, what made candidates not to qualify? As we were, Chairperson, looking at the CVs, we had to check whether the candidate has got the minimum requirements in terms of qualification. Now, if you don't meet the minimum requirements in terms of qualification, then you are out. That is the first thing that would disqualify candidates. So the second one, if you have the minimum qualification, but you don't have the minimum required experience, then you are also out. Those were the two things that were applied, Chairperson, to disqualify candidates, or to say they don't meet the requirements, because disqualifying might be sounding harsher. But the candidates who did not make it into the 13, you may find that some did not have the required qualification or did not have the required experience. And we do have a document to that effect. I must just check with my colleagues if that document has not been shared with the members. And I think it needs to be shared with honorable members so that they can satisfy themselves. And we have also shared the documents of all candidates with the members so that where maybe we might have erred or made a mistake, the members can also just come in to say, but this candidate, the way we have assessed, meet the requirements. I think the there is a document to that one. I will just request Estelle and Lubabalo just to check if it's available, then we can make sure that it is also distributed. Now, coming to the question, Chairperson, what made the five candidates that are not in the top eight? I would want, with your permission, Chairperson, go through the five candidates so that we can indicate as to why they did not meet the requirements. What was guiding was the fact that some of them did have the minimum qualification, but when you look at the number of the years and also the research output, I think that is where they were lacking. They might have the minimum, but no research output. Then another question, I think it was about Mr. Khumalo. There was a question as to the research output is not indicated. When you look at this candidate, in terms of qualification and experience, he is stronger than the five candidates that have been left out, but among the top eight, he is weaker in terms of research output. You'll realize, Honorable Chairperson, that not all the candidates that are in the top eight do have research output. So just to explain that one of Mr. Khumalo, that I would say he is weaker in terms of research output among the top eight, but when I'm going to look at, discuss the top, the last five, you will realize that he will be seen to be a bit stronger. Then the other question I think that members raised was that the issue of the clearance should be done before interviews. Actually, that is what the advert is saying. And we believe we will be able to go through that process. And the issue of public scrutiny, Chairperson, this meeting is open. I believe it's been broadcasted. I must just confirm with colleagues from PCS, Public Communication Services, even if it's not live, but it is available to the public, which means the members of public have access to this meeting and they know or they see what the subcommittee is doing. Chairperson, let me also, the issue of gender spread, of the qualifying female candidates, all of them are shortlisted. They are stronger in terms of one has got a PhD, another has got two master's degree, even though she does not have the research output. But in terms of experience and qualification, she is meeting the requirements. Remember, the issue of research output was not in the advert, but we used it just to rank them to see who is stronger when they all meet the minimum requirements, Chairperson. And with your permission, let me now go to the five. Mr. Nodada or Estelle, are you able to share that screen again? The very same screen where we had the top eight, just below it, the five candidates are also captured. If you can just scroll down, that. Yeah, just go down. Yes. Yeah. Oh. Thank you. Yeah, we have there's still an African a male with South African ID, MCOM degree, University of Cape Town, with 12 years experience, and he had produced four articles. We also indicate how he came. We came to the 12 years of experience, but up there we also have the other candidates that do not have research output. So in terms of research output, Chairperson, I would agree with members that this candidate may qualify to go into the top eight, but then that would mean we'll have nine candidates. But I think the members will engage on that one. And then we have Stuart, white male, ID, MCOM, University of Stellenbosch, 13 years of experience. The candidate that does not have research output like this candidate has got more years, that is 14. So the two candidates, Stuart and Tensil, could not make it because of experience into the top eight, but members can still consider whether they need to be included into the top eight. Mbandra, can you just scroll up, colleagues? With MCOM, University of Cape Town, 12 years experience. The candidate does not have research output. The only weakness was that there was one candidate with more years of experience, that is 14. And then Ngobeni, MPhil in taxation. The candidate has got 11 years experience, also did not include the research output. The candidate was not in the top 8 just because of that experience. And then it is Mpangwa, MPA, Mankosa, and BCom honors. The candidate has got 10 years experience, but not a research output included. So that is the 10 years that was outweighed by the other candidate who had 14 years experience. These are the details, Chairperson and Honorable Members. I will hand back to you, Chairperson, for guidance and also indication as to whether I responded to all the questions.
Honorable Members, thank you so much, Advocate Tau. Any follow-up inputs after the advocate's input?
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Joseph.
Chairperson, thank you. I note what the briefing is, and I know that the minimum experience is 10 years. I would like to suggest that we start at 12 years, because it appears also that the minimum says 10 years, but it appears that experience, if one look at all the experiences of the candidates, that we have to maybe the on other competencies they are very close. If competent, but we sometimes have to use criteria, you know, to separate candidates. We can't interview all the candidates. I understand that. So I would like to propose that the candidates with 12 years experience, which is a significant experience, and is 2 years above the minimum, that they be included to the list. I know the concept of research papers and no research papers. The key performance areas only refers to research and analysis, so I understand that the advocate and his team have experience how to determine research itself in research papers. So I leave that to them, with their expertise. But I would recommend that the candidates with 12 years experience be added to that list of 8. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, honourable members, before others come in, I don't want us to change the rules of the game as we go. If you remember initially there was a 12-year experience and we changed that. If you go to the minutes and you said 10 years minimum, that's one. Two, I think one other very important criteria that we also put is that the level at which, because this is a leadership position, this is an administration a position, that at what level has a candidate operated at before. This is at the highest level. You're operating with Parliament, advise Parliament on a number of things. So that's also very, very important that you look at that. And lastly, I just want to check with members that do we agree that the maximum number that we can interview is 8. If you agree with that, I would then say to the other members, please, as you suggest that we should add so and so, for whatever reason, also suggest who are we taking out. Who wants to come in after Honorable Joseph?
I'll come in. Can I come in,
Chair? Honorable Lewis.
Chair, I'm not committed to the idea that we can only interview 8. I understand that you have to draw a line somewhere, but you know, 8 is just as arbitrary as 5 or 10. You know, we can just pick a number. And so I think what we should do is pick the number based on how many excellent candidates that we have rather than anything else. So, you know, I think that if there are 1 or 2 additional excellent candidates from the 5 who have now been excluded that people feel strongly should be interviewed, then I don't think that we should shy away from interviewing those people. So I would motivate for that, Chair.
Thank you. Was the next note, Robin Otolo?
Yes, Chair, it was me. So let me see if I can also show my face. Okay. Thank you, Chair. Chair, my first take would be on the issue of the research requirement and whether it was clearly put in the advert. And I think, Chair, my view is that in a day, probably, we could deal with 4 or 5 people. And therefore, I would like to agree with Honorable Hillowitz. However, Chair, your point in saying that we must be able to make a decision as to who do we take out if we take in one more? Because, Chair, we might be faced with a problem where we have issues with decision-making in the process, you know? Because at the end of the day, we have to take people out. We do have to take people out, and therefore, we need to be bold enough to say, if we feel strongly about candidate number 9, then let's take out this particular candidate. However, Chair, we don't really have to do that. As I was saying, my sense is that what Hillowitz is raising carries a weight for me. My second area to comment on for me, Chair, is the pictures of the candidates. I know that when people apply, they attach their pictures. I don't know whether we are at that stage, Chair, or am I too forward? Maybe that stage is the stage of the interviews. I'm not sure, but it's always an advantage to know not to know as in having been introduced or knowing, but just to have a picture of the person that you are shortlisting, because sometimes we can shortlist a person and the same person is in the police file. He's wanted by the police. So we need to clear those things and be able to confidently say we have decided on a particular route. Lastly, for me, Chair, I am hoping, I don't know, maybe I'm jumping the gun. I wanted to talk to you before we come to this meeting. I'm hoping that we will be able to have a physical interviewing session, because there's a lot that goes on in the physical interview that we cannot pick up in the virtual. And therefore, as we speak, Chair, we must make a decision. I don't want to mimic your arrangement in the AG interviewing panel, But for us in the Eastern Cape, before you go to Cape Town, you have to go to Joburg first. And I hope that's the case for Mpumalanga and Limpopo. So, yeah. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Nokolo. Next, who wants to come in?
Moletane.
Honorable Moletane.
Thank you, Chairperson. I understand that maybe interviewing 8 people might be strenuous to go through that process. But at the same time, we shouldn't deny people who really, really qualify an opportunity to go and present themselves and for the interviews. I'm not actually rejecting to reduce that number to 5 or 6, but I'm saying we must try to be fair as far as possible. It's just that our candidate is so disappointing to see that the females they didn't make it. Those who applied, they didn't qualify. It's only 2. I still want to support what the former colleague said about the 2 ladies, to say really they must be there for the sake of being the she. And I think the issue of clearance, we might reduce the number to 5, and then others don't make it from the clearance, whereby we might find ourselves again, the number will be reduced again. I wonder whether can't we allow this clearance part, so that the technical team that is assisting to try and speed up that process, so that we can see maybe how many will pass that process, so that we can also assist us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mletane. Any other input?
Chairperson.
Yes, Honourable Teachers.
Chairperson, I propose that we accept the 8 as suggested, because of the motivation that was made with regards to the 5. I shudder. Maybe I am too cautious about this process. There is already from the 5 that I actually felt that that 5 was sufficiently looked at, despite, I don't think, Honorable Joseph, the fact that the minimum requirement was put at about 12 years, it therefore means that everybody who has got 12 years experience must by necessity be on the list of shortlisted candidates. So I just wanted to clarify that. But I also want us to, over and above the reference checks and whatever, there is also the issue of the qualifications checks. Chairperson, you would remember there was questions raised about some of the internationally acquired type of doctorates and master's degrees. So for me, the reference checks as well as qualifications audit or checks as well as the security clearance will also help us to get to a point where the numbers could even go down. But I'm not saying that we should use Honorable Nokolo, the experience of the Auditor General's interview process. But there was also a lot of lessons learned from that process, to an extent that even after the interview, there were candidates who withdrew. You know, that type of thing that you'd find that even from the 8 that we are selecting, some might later on decide based on the time lag. Remember, these people applied last year, And it's almost a year since the post was advertised. There might be some developments that we don't know. I mean, in another experience that I have once had, there was a candidate that was no longer on earth at a particular time of calling people for interviews. So there's also that particular challenge that we might be faced, taking into consideration the time lag. So I'm recommending, honorable members, that we accept the aid and go for the public scrutiny and the comments, and then take it from there. Because I would believe, honorable members, that we're still going to have a meeting prior to the interviews. And lastly, Chairperson, I support those, I think it's Honorable Nokolo who was motivating that it must be a physical interaction. I also support that the interview to be physically, what is it called? Yeah, physical interaction. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members. We have got a way forward as agenda item number 7, which we, I think we'll talk into all those things. What type of interviews are we going to have? Where are we going to have those interviews and so on? Just hold on to that. I think we'll deal with those things there. I think
yes,
the main.
Yeah.
Can I? Yes,
sorry, after you finish, Chairperson, sorry.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Honourable members, I think a person that we are looking for, the catch phrase is a fit and proper person who must be able to do this this work. The person must be who's competent, want to get the best amongst the best. Of these 37 people who applied, want to get one individual. I think honourable members should know that they will have to take tough decisions along the way. And having looked at the candidates, there are definitely tough decisions that we need to take. So I just wanted to stress what was said by one honourable member. But here's the question. I didn't hear Honourable Helu saying that we must go to 5. He was basically saying that 8 is an arbitrary number. We could have chosen 5 or it could be 9. There's nothing sacrosanct about 8 that we are having. So now, can we decide on this one? Because is there anyone that I take the argument that there's nothing sacrosanct about 8? That's granted. So it's not a question of take out or bring somebody in, or let me say replacing anybody else. Is there anybody on the top 8 that we think that doesn't belong there? I no more. So all the 8 are fine. They should be there. Agreed, honourable members.
Yeah. Yes, Chairperson, I agree. But I want to say with the 5 that is excluded,
Robert Joseph. Sorry.
Stop there. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to come step by step. Eh? I'm saying, is there anyone that on the top 8 want excluded? I think
the top 8 is good, sir. The top 8 is good.
Okay, let's
just clarity.
Yeah. Yebo, honorable Peter.
Yes, Chairperson. I just wanted to find out. I forgot this question when I was speaking earlier on. The level. How comparable is the director level? Or the director position for PBO and the director level in government, as well as in local government. I just want from the advocate to help me clear that in my mind, because I remember you, Chairperson, speaking about the level at which the particular candidate will be operating commensurate to where the candidate is as at present, or the candidates are as at present. It's very important for us to have a clearer understanding at that level. Thank you. And Advocate Tau can help us there.
Advocate Tau, do you want to come in?
in terms of the person, because the at the senior level.
Advocate Tau, switch off your video. We are losing you. Please switch off your video. You have got a problem of connectivity. Switch off your video to try and help. Are you switched off your video?
Yes, it's off. Yes, the video is switched off.
Okay, continue then.
In terms of the aid, the person in the level of which in the provincial government.
I don't know what has happened throughout your presentation. We could hear you very well. Something else. Are you load shedding?
No, Chairperson.
Try again.
How is it now, Chairperson?
That's better. Honorable Abraham, if I break from my side, please can you chair for me?
Okay, sir. Okay.
Please continue.
Honorable,
no, we can't hear you. Can you try to rejoin? We'll continue. Try to rejoin. Just get out and try to come back again. Sometimes get better that way. We're just struggling to hear you. Did you hear me, Advocate Down? Okay. Let's wait for Advocate Down. Can you try?
Chairperson.
That's much better.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes. My response is, because the remuneration is at the senior government level, which can be the DG or the HOD, the person, when we look at the person at chief director or above the chief director level, the advert was saying senior position. Now, if you look at the public, CEO, in local government, I think the municipal manager position or the CFO, that also qualify a person. And the departments also, the director, it depends on the of the person to.
Okay. We're losing you. Please go out. I think we get the gist of what you are saying. Honorable Peters, you know at what level director in government in government is. You still have got a chief director on top of him. You still have got a DDG. You still have got a DG.
Yeah.
And as you know, for instance, that people will be coming to present, whether it's cabinet and so on, by and large, the chief directors and the directors will be coming to support the DG. I think without preempting anything, director in government is definitely very far from what we're trying to do here. As we said, that you must have operated at that level. To deal with parliament, to deal with members of parliament, where ministers account, you should have dealt at a highest level in government. But I think that answers you. So I think with honourable members who wants to come after honourable Peters, there's a question that you, and the next question that I'll be posing. Anybody else want to take a bite?
Chairperson, thank you. Yes. Dennis here. Yes. No, I want to say that of the names, of the eight names, there is not a problem with the names that suggested by the advocate and his team. I But the question really is asked, who must the committee make the final decision on whether it should be 8 or 10 or 6? Is that for the committee to decide or on the recommendation? And if it is, then I would, I mean, if I look at, there's one candidate I'm looking at, say, for example, Mr. Stewart, or let me rather say, and the other candidates, when on my question, the advocate started off to say the research and the output, you know, of the 5 candidates that is not considered, but that was, he only started to speak on one candidate, he didn't hear the other 4 candidates. It seems to me it was generally, if the other candidate, the 5 excluded, was excluded based on research and output, but the research in itself is not consistent with other candidates that's in the top 5, because they have other qualifications and other experiences that is there. So that is not a consistent motivation to exclude the other candidates. That's the point I'm making. Because, as I said, the key performance only says research and analysis, policy making, and so on. So I think one of my other colleagues also raised that. We left it up to the Tukatau and his team to determine the research in itself, what it should be. So I'm still of the opinion that the other candidates equally qualify for an interview chairperson. Thank you.
Roger, I said that still have got other questions that I'm going to. In fact, when we started, I said, look, this is not a natural science. There's a lot of subjectivity, but there was something that they used to try and get to the 8, right? We don't have a top 5. We've got a top 8. We don't have a top. The candidates who are appearing there is on the basis of the top 8. It's alphabetical, if I'm not mistaken, right? So there are 8 candidates now. And I heard oral members, there's nobody they want to take out. Is there, of the 5 that are left out, is there anyone that you feel strongly that you want to add on the 8? And then we go to 9.
It's Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
I think all of us on this committee have worked, and you in particular, Chair, in your various positions, have worked with Ian Stewart very closely over the years, and I have always been extremely impressed with his insights and expertise on the budget in committee. So I would be very keen to interview him as well.
Perfect. All right, members, as I said, that there's nothing sacrosanct about 8. I agreed with that. They had to pay a number. So, Honourable Jordan, is motivating for the addition of one more person, and we go to 9 candidates. Can we live with that? And from my side, I'll definitely, as I said, that the 8 was just a number. Is there anybody who will go to war if we're to include one more candidate, and it's Mr. Stewart?
Chairperson?
Yes.
I motivated for 12 years, which then would include Mr.
No.
Banyua. But the advocate did not give me on his name in particular feedback. That's, if I can have that, then I would know whether my proposal.
You are not helping me. There is a proposal on the table. There's a proposal on the table, and I just asked the honorable members that there is the one of the candidates that is being recommended is Mrs. Stewart, and that will take us to 9. Can we agree on that, honorable members?
Chair,
who am I talking? Who's that?
Muletsane.
Honorable Muletsane, please come in.
Thank you, Chair. The number was 13.
Yes, sir.
It was reduced to 8.
Right.
That 5 that has been excluded, all of them, they qualify. But understanding the procedures of interviews, you have to reduce the number. You must use some technicality in order to try to reduce the number for the interviews. Now, if we say that this 5, then it was excluded, even though they qualify, because of the technicality that has been used in order to try to reduce the number. If you single out one person, you bring them back to say that must go to 9. Why about that 4? I will go for that. We remain with that 8. Rather than saying, because that person, how do we say that this one compared to other 4, you know? Remember that sometimes we'll have those personal interest in a person. So here we must treat them as if we don't know them. You know, we must be neutral when we deal about these people. So now I will say that let us stick to that 8, and then we interview that 8 and agree that 5, we managed to get a way of saying that, okay, yes, they qualify, but we understand that we cannot interview certain people because just to reduce that number. So now we stick to 8. Thank you. That's my recommendation.
Yes, I am.
Chair?
Yes, but, okay.
It's Abraham speaking, Chair. Can I speak?
Please.
Okay. Chair, I don't know if I will not be delaying the meeting, but I have a sense that somehow, appreciating, of course, the presentation that was made to us on all the candidates, but I have a sense that we don't seem to know and confidently stand our ground on the 8. And therefore, I would like to propose that we go through them one by one so that we are able to satisfy ourselves that it is indeed what we are looking for. It might not take long because we already have done that to a certain extent. Because if we are happy with our 8, then we will not need the 9. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Abram. Any other taker?
Honorable Chairperson.
Yes.
Honorable Chairperson.
Yeah.
Honorable Chairperson, I think let's we're still going for the public scrutiny. We're still going for the clearance and all those type of reference checks and whatever. I've got an intruder. We're still going for interviews. So Chairperson, I suggest that we take the Mr. Stewart, let it be 9, and let's go on.
Yeah.
What a sweet baby.
Hello.
Gogo Peters. Hello, my sweetheart.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello, beautiful.
Hello, beautiful.
Okay, on that note, sir, I will withdraw because I see that Honorable Peters is fighting with the whole family included in the fight.
Yeah, I think I always say to honorable members that with these virtual meetings, we must know that we are intruders in other people's space. So we should not be too strict with these things. We are intruders ourselves, not the other way around. They are not in parliament, we are in their space.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think we must refer to her in future not as Honorable Peters, but Honorable Gogo.
Honorable Chairman, can I?
Then we'll have two Gogos.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind. Thank you very much, Honorable Ilunga.
Honorable members, look, and I just want to appeal to you that we are still going to through this process. These names, when we deal with the way forward, I want us to take them out. You may see there can be others who are going to fall by the way and so on. I'm not very much worried. I hear you, Honorable Letsan and Honorable Abram. I really appeal to you. Let's live with the number nine. Let's live with the number nine. And
so thank you, sir. No, I'm in persuaded.
To all this. Yeah. Yes, Honorable Joseph. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I accept. I didn't get a second for my proposal on the 12 years, so I accept that.
Yeah. Come again.
I accept the proposal for 12 years, but I accept I didn't get a seconder, so it falls off. I think.
Okay. Thank you. Honorable Mletsane, I heard you, and if you can bear with me, I want us to proceed with the nine candidates. I've got a sense which says that we won't interview nine. Let's do that. So can we leave with that, honorable members? Thank you, Chair.
Happiness, Chair.
I hear you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, so we've got nine candidates. Is the advocate back?
I'm back, President.
Okay. Now, so that we capture this correctly, we've got a list of eight plus one, right? Just for completion, can you read the list that we are saying now? This list, honorable members, is the list that we are going to take. You'll see when we talk about the way forward, we are going to take this list to the joint committees and say, this is the process we have gone through. These are the people that we are going to be interviewing. You remember, that's how it should go. Okay, so so we still have got that duty to go and report someone. Advocate, let's complete the picture. Just put the list that you were recommending.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Noor for just to list for DF,
right?
And the next one, you may scroll.
Yeah,
it is Angus DG. K with L,
mm-hmm.
The third one. You may scroll down.
Please scroll down while we're still having advocates here before it disappears.
And then we have Kumalo B, we have Mohammed S.
Let's go.
Then we have Mostert JW,
right?
Number seven, we have Orlandi N, and the number eight, we have I think it's Mr. Plachis, and then my apologies. And then the members have added Mr. Stewart as the ninth candidate. We will capture that name under nine. That is Mr. Stewart IC.
Okay. Thank you so much, honorable members. That summarizes our agenda item number five. Then, in fact, that was number six. It's five and six that we have just finished. Now let's deal with the way forward. I just remember that one thing I've just alluded to it. I want to check whether that's your understanding. That now that we have got shortlisted nine candidates, we must take them back to the joint sitting of the four committees, and say to them, here are the shortlisted candidates, and obviously say how we arrived at and give them the whole picture. Is that your understanding?
Mletane?
Or Mletane?
I think it's correct, Chair, to do it that way. Remember, our mandate is to say we are going, rather than working as a big team, we are chosen to go and do the work on their behalf, and we'll always come back to them and report about the progress. So I agree with you to say that we need to go back to them and tell them how far are we so far, and the names that we have identified for interviews. Thank you.
Agreed. In fact, I think that's yes. I think that's how it's.
Yeah. That's progressive, Chair.
Yeah.
That's progressive.
Okay. Thank you. Agreed.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Yeah. Just a clarity, Chairperson. It is a public meeting, and I just wanted to know the shortlisted candidates. In terms of the process of checking their records and preparing for interviews, I think a letter can go to the other committee chairs just to inform what the subcommittee is doing. So, I mean, that can happen to broader committees. But I just, my question is, will the investigation into the records of the candidates goes... run concurrently with while the candidates interview set and preparation. So by the time the candidates come to the interview, that report is available to be handled. Thank you.
Yeah. What my care and invest cap, you are all cutting today. I don't know what's happening. Is there load shedding there today? Yeah. Because
sometimes, yes. Yeah.
I'm saying today, usually we are very clear from your side. No. Okay, we'll come to that. I just wanted us to tick this box and I think Oral Mletane came in that with the list now that we need to take it to the joint sitting of, and I think that's our understanding. Can we agree on that? And I think we are agreeing. But before we go to other things, I wanted now to say that's number one as far as the way forward is concerned. Number two, advocate. There's a document that you sent to us, draft program, point of director, da, da, da. But before we do that, let's deal with the screening. What are we saying about the screening of the nine candidates? Is there anything which stops us from now to say whether it's state security or people who are verifying the qualifications, that they can start doing that so that we are able to do these things parallel? Is there anything which stops us from doing that? Can we continue and do that in the meantime? Honourable members?
The sooner the better, Chair.
Okay.
Is there anyone in the administration that give us can clarify the process, or is it up to the committee to clarify the process?
Oh, we're defining the process for them. They must do what we're saying. So I just want to get the feeling of the honourable members that these processes will start, so that we don't wait for the meetings. But only then that they start. There's nothing wrong about them. Getting these verifications. Agreed?
Chairperson?
Yeah.
Well, I've asked this question earlier on, but I'm also aware that been involved in this process as myself before, is that it can even take up to 3 months to get, that's why I've asked, can the administration guide us, because it can take up to 3 months to get security clearance on certain candidates. We don't want to prolong the process, so can the administration just help us in? Thank you.
Any other question? Chairperson, I saw a hand.
Yes.
I see a hand, Chairperson.
Yeah, but before we answer Honorable Joseph, I just wanted to check from, we'll talk about whether it's doable or not. I'm just saying, is there any voters against us starting that process now?
No. Okay.
So we are saying that you must start with the process of verifications now and clearance now, right? And now perhaps can the support staff answer to the question raised by Honorable Joseph? And I think more than anything else, he wants to check how long can it take, or will it take, to get these clearances. Sanas?
Good morning, Chairperson. Can I just make a comment? And I just want clarity for myself. We have 9 candidates that have been shortlisted, and I have the names. I trust you can hear. Everyone can hear me.
Yes.
I just have a question that you're going to take names to the joint standing of the 4 committees. Yes. Now, can I just, what I want to ask is, it's not a problem. We can start, as HR, we can start the verification right now. You know, once this meeting is done, with committees, we'll contact the candidates, we'll get the information, get the consent. But I just want to clarify, so these are, what if there's a change at that committee? I'm not saying there will be a change. That would be my point of clarity. Other than that, from a verification of qualification, we can, when as soon as we get the consent form of the candidate, we can start. And the committee section, generally, they also get the security clearance from the Parliamentary Protection Services, which is the local clearance. And then, Chairperson, you would have been involved with the as a member of the ad hoc committee for the appointment of the AG. The Parliament has engaged formally with state security in that particular process, and I saw communication this week that they are waiting on the report. So we started that process last month. So you're quite right, to the member who raised, it can take some time, but I think there's communication between Parliament and the Minister in terms of prioritizing the vetting in that regard.
Okay, does that help, Honourable Members? Anybody wants to come in?
Can I just ask, Chairperson, why these candidates need a security vetting? Because they don't have access to any classified or secret information. So my understanding is they just need to go through a verification process to check that their qualifications are real and that, you know, they are who they say they are, check their IDs, check that they are citizens and so on, but not a full-on security clearance process like happens with, you know, people who are appointed in the security cluster.
Advocate Jenkins, do you want to come in?
Yes, Chairperson. I hope I'm audible.
Very well.
Three things. While it's on my head, we had that, I'm not sure, maybe some members heard the speaker and the discussion in programming committee last week. And as Honorable Peters would know, there are some issues with the timing of security clearance for the candidates for the AG, for the Auditor General, and that came up in the programming committee. So that can take a little bit longer. And it's, of course, out of Parliament's hands. It's with the security establishment. Why do we do that? I think there's a requirement in terms of the regulations of the Intelligence Services Oversight Act that requires all people working for government to be security cleared on various levels. Parliament, we are cleared, including myself, at a top secret level. Why it's necessary, I also challenge that because I don't have access to confidential information, but that is the rule at the, as it stands. So for the director of the PBO, that rule will also apply. You'll have to get security clearance, notwithstanding whether you have access to or direct access to these documents. And Chair, lastly, the third point I wanted to make, the subcommittee can only make recommendations. I put something on the chat line earlier when the committee started. So when it comes to the shortlist, Chair, my view is that the committee should report back to the four committees who establishes the subcommittee and just say, we recommend that this is the shortlist and these are the people who didn't make it in the shortlist. Because the committee itself can't take decisions. You can only make recommendations. The subcommittee, my apologies, the subcommittee can only make recommendations. I hope that's of some assistance, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Sanan?
Yes, thank you. Well, also, I've just checked in on the advert. When we advertised for the director parliamentary budget office, we did indicate in that advert that the person must have a positive security clearance, including that of the SSA as well. So candidates were informed at the beginning of the process.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I think thanks for that clarification. I always say on these matters, it's always better to err on the side of caution. So, but I think now that advocate has just clarified that it is a requirement. So, and the applicants were made aware of that requirement even from the word go. So I think let's continue. If the committees, joint sitting of the committee, decide on adding or subtracting from the list, I don't think that would have done anything wrong by starting the process of verification. So I would say let's continue and with that process. So I think that's that out. Can we then agree that we start with that process right away. Honorable Joseph, yeah. I see.
Chairperson, I think I've listened carefully to what the advocate is saying. And if we give the mandate to the administration to, because obviously when they start with the clearance, they will inform the candidates. And to inform the candidates, and then afterwards be told by our bigger committees that a name has been taken off could also bring another challenge, a legal challenge. If you inform a candidate and then afterwards told that the final committee is not considered they've taken off. So I'm cautious that we perhaps just pause and just work out when we can get approval, when the administration can get the approval to, the final approval to continue with the security clearance process, Chairperson.
Colleagues? Board members?
Chairperson?
Aye, Honourable Peter.
Chairperson, I think the report that we're taking to the bigger joint committee or to the joint committees would be a report that speaks to all the things that we have agreed upon here, including what we're requesting should be done. So I think for now, we understand that everything that we are doing is in preparation for the report that we will present to the bigger committee. And it is out of the bigger committee that the names will be publicized. The potential candidates will then be asked for agreement and all those type of things, and all other matters will follow. There are certain processes, Honorable Dennis Joseph, that will then run concurrently. So I think it is important that we understand we are not under an illusion that we are the final decision makers. We know that we are recommending. So we're saying the strength of our recommendation will then also expedite the work of the joint committees. Thank you.
Okay. So I think what we are then saying I think what you are then saying, honourable members, that nothing should happen until the joint sitting of the committees. I think that's I think that's what it is. Let's wait with everything else. The next step is to get the joint committee sitting, and we take all the recommendations to the committee. I think factoring what has been said by the two honourable members now. Okay, any counter proposal to that? So we need to, as a matter of urgency, to get. I know why in a recess from Parliament, we may have to ask for a special permission to meet so that we fast track this process, and then so that the other processes can move. Am I summarizing you correctly, honourable members?
Yes, person.
Yes, sir. I was going to get to exactly the point that you are raising now, as to the time frame. What is the expectation? We understand that we might not be able to determine the security checks and all that, but in terms of our own planning, what do we think when do we think we can estimate the meeting of the bigger team, the bigger committees, and maybe still estimate as to, because now thanks to the team of the advocate, a lot of work has already been done. So the next thing is to brief committees and finally have the interviews. What are the time frames in terms of that? Can you talk to that?
Honourable members, can I ask okay, honourable members, there is a draft program that has been sent to us. Appointment of Director, Parliamentary Budget Office. Do we have that? Right. Please try to access it, and then I will request the Advocate Tao and his team to take us through, so that, because there are some indicative dates there. Advocate Tao, do you have that?
Thank you. Mr. Nodata or Estelle, are you able to share the draft program? And with your permission, Chairperson, I will allow him to speak to it.
Okay.
Hello, Chairperson.
Yes, please continue. Yep.
Okay, it's Luavalo, yeah, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I would like to apologize. I don't think we did send this copy to members. I think we sent it to you only, Chairperson, for you to consider it. So I'm going to, in the meantime, ask Estelle on that side to send it to all members and other colleagues, Chair. Whilst I'm going through it, this side.
Okay, do that.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson, and apologies, honourable members. Honourable members, today it's Friday the 4th. The committee has just concluded the shortlisting process of the candidates. So we are proposing that the next meeting be next week on Friday, the 11th of September, wherein the subcommittee now will be presenting the names of the shortlisted candidates and also the other processes going forward that have just been discussed now, including the issues of vetting. We are proposing that maybe that meeting should start between, should sit at 9 o'clock even next week. However, because the NA is on recess, then we'll have to submit an application for the committee to be allowed to sit, Chair, and members. The next activity that we are tabled on this draft program is the subcommittee to sit on the 14th of September, if that is well, but that date can be changed by the committee if it is too soon, considering the magnitude of the work wherein the committee now will be conducting the interviews of the shortlisted candidates. Then we are also proposing that the subcommittee sit again on the 18th of September to deliberate on and identify the names of the proposed top three candidates. That meeting we are proposing, we are suggesting that it should sit at from 9 o'clock again. Because of it still falling within the constituency period, we will submit an application for the committee to be allowed to sit. This part on the issue of verification, the subcommittee just deliberated on it and indicated when probably HR and Parliament can start processing the issue of verification. So, Uchetezin has just like summarized that this process should be put on hold for now up until the next meeting of the joint committees. Then thereafter, it will kickstart. So we were suggesting that this process be conducted as from the 18th of September and probably concluded on the 9th of October. However, my colleague Shana has just indicated that process can take long. In fact, I think Advocate Jenkins has also indicated that it can take long depending on the challenges in terms of processing it. So it's difficult for us to say exactly this one will be complicated by this time. However, as discussed by the committee, it will be started immediately after the next meeting of the joint committees. So that the joint committees now sit again on the 13th of October to consider the report from HR and Protection Services on vetting of the top three candidates. Then if all committees are satisfied with all the necessary issues that have to be done, then the committees can move to the last stage and individually consider the reports recommending the preferred candidate for the position of the director PBO. That is the end of the proposal of the program that we are proposing, Chairperson. However, if there is any stage that the members and colleagues would like to suggest that maybe we can factor in between what we have proposed, we'll be happy to execute that, Chairperson. Thanks. That's all. And once again, for not sending this program well in advance to all members of the subcommittee, Chair.
All members. Here's the proposed thing, please. But mainly for me, it's the next meeting of the joint committee. And I said when I was talking to the team that we should try from our side and finalize this process for MTBPS, because as you know, that once MTBPS sets in, we just get by the MTBPS process. Can I have take us, please?
Chairperson, just for clarity.
Yeah, boy.
No, can I speak, Chair?
Yes, please.
No, thanks. It appears that the security clearance will only be done for the final three candidates. In other words, we can then proceed with the other business that was proposed. I just want that clarity, then it's fine. Fine with me. Thank you.
Chair?
Yes.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, mine is to okay, thanks. We do have
the program now in front of us. Thank you for that. It's much appreciated. Chair, mine was to go back to my initial proposal around the meeting arrangement. Whether we shall be able to have this meeting on I see it's indicated that it will be on MS Teams. Whether we should stick to that or we go to the arrangement of the physical meeting. I'm not so sure whether we concretized that and decided whether we want to have a physical shortlisting sessions, or not shortlisting but interviewing sessions. And lastly, Chair, in terms of your experience, yourself and Honourable Peters and other comrades who might have, other members who might have been part of the recent interviewing session, whether we do not need 2 days to have the interviews so that we give sufficient time. I don't know what the setup of the interviewing is going to be, because sorry, in such significant positions, sometimes we might have to request the candidates to make some presentation, which sometimes take a bit of time. So I just wanted to check whether we should not play safe because we have such a large number and prepare to go to day two. Thanks, Sam.
Okay. Before I allow other members, I think let me take care of one. I think I got the impression that you are agreeing with the physical interviews. I think let's take that one. Physical interviews. But can I allow other members to come in? Members, please help. That's one. While I'm waiting for you.
What's that proposal, Chair?
Come again.
I'm in agreement. I support that.
Thank you. And then on it, whether it's 1 day or 2 days, there's just one technicality, Honourable Abraham. The technicality is that these interviews, they become public, so you don't want to give unfair advantage to other candidates who would have listened to us asking questions and so on and so forth. So that was one of the considerations, that when you start, you need to deal with this question in 1 day. And if I'm not mistaken, when we dealt with these candidates, they had to be at a certain venue. And to try to make it as comfortable as possible while they're still waiting for the interview, so that there are no candidates who are having an unfair advantage. So that's the only thing. And I think what we'll have to do on that day, we need to sleep properly the day before, so that we gear ourselves, even if we go up to 12 midnight, we are ready for that. You know what happens, for instance, when we need to pass budgets in Parliament, and Honourable Helu is asked for what to call it, when we must vote on every vote. So it's sort of something something like that.
When they ask for divisions,
you see, so it we must just
they want to divide the house.
Yeah. So I think it's Let's accept it's 1 day. We'll go all the way. It will be physical. We'll have to get the venue which is accessible to all of us. Johannesburg became that type of a venue when we met, because of its centrality. But I'm sure the other members will still want to decide on that. But I think we're taking those, I'll say, one day. And then we're having all of them. can we agree on us trying to find a joint sitting of all the committees next week, as proposed here. That is the Friday, September 11th. Can we at least, and other dates, we can always try and be agile and flexible around them. They are not cast in stone. They are more indicative as dates. But I think what comes out here, Babalo alluded to it, that let's check when we present there. I think what we have agreed upon is that our first point was that all of them should go through security clearance even before but that may take long. But I think at least the qualifications, I know there's a service provider in Parliament which has got that responsibility of checking the qualifications. It's there, it's in Parliament, it's in the it's used by Parliament on all their employment things. So I think that one it's there. But I think before we interview, that one will have to be cleared out. So let's do that. I think after next week, if we get next week, I think the other stages will also be clearer to us. I just said to the team, please try to do everything before we get to MTBBS. Or if we need to go there, it should be at least one engagement, and then we're done. Can we accept this as an indicative type of a program? But the firm one is where we ask the secretariat to ask for us to the joint sitting of the committees Friday next week. Agreed?
Agreed, sir.
Yes, sir.
Agreed, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Advocate, you understand
what... I also agree.
Okay. Okay, honorable members, we then say to the staff, can we proceed and try to get permission for the joint committees to sit next week Friday on the 11th, and then in the meantime the staff will be preparing the report that will be presented to the joint committees. Okay, Advocate Tao?
Noted, Chairperson.
Yeah.
We will do accordingly.
Okay. Not unless there is something that I've forgotten, and as we're saying that the program that we're hearing here is more indicative. What we affirm on it's tomorrow. It's next week, Friday, the 11th of September, 2020. All members, is there anything perhaps that we are leaving out? This, I don't want new things to, but in case there's something that I'm forgetting. Okay, I take it that you agree with me. Again, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you all, honorable members, for availing yourselves for this responsibility that we have been given. And I would just like to stress again that let's try as much as we possibly can to run a clean process, a transparent process, an open process. Then we are going to present to the joint sitting of the committee. That takes us to the end of the meeting. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Thank you,
Chief. Long live the chair.
To you.
Long live the Peter's member, the youngest member of the committee. Long live.
Bye,
Sidi. Oh, our grandchildren, it's nice. So lovely, so cute.
Bye, Kokozi.
Hey, how old do you think this one is? You seem to be good with the ages of the grandchildren.
This one is must 3.
Between 2 and 3, yes?
2 and 3, yeah, I think so.
Dipuo?
Not yet 2. Tell them how old they are.
How old?
Two in October.
What?
Be 2 in October. Yeah.
What? No, oh, but she's so grown, man.
Yes, yes, thank you. Say bye-bye, Mama.
Bye-bye, Lana. Bye-bye, bye-bye, Granny. We are Granny's too here, darling.
She's been saying there is Nana here in the meeting. Whenever you speak to the professor, she says there is Nana.
Yes, 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 there are Nanas here, Nana. Thank you, sir. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Look at the nose.